But good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Michael Rodriguez, the lead pastor here. How are you guys doing? Good. I see a good showing on the jerseys. You know, today's message, you guys see it on the board already, is walking humility. So, I mean, Bills fan, humbled all my life, you know. My brother, too, he's a Bengals fan. Otro. But welcome. You know, this is our very first Super Sunday. It's a Super Bowl. We came together. We have meetings every Monday, and we're like, what are we going to do? You know, so we said, hey, let's do a Super Bowl, and everybody brings soup, and the weather actually lent itself really well to it. So I thought it was great, and so glad you're here. We are in, this is week five of a series we're doing called Established, and the core of the theme of the series is what it means to live a life that is rooted and established in God's love, right? And so the very first week, we talked about knowing God. We talked about listening from God. We talked about praying, right? Last week, we talked about serving. How many of you went home and washed some feet after last week's sermon? Nobody? Your own feet? We're going to have to throw that back one time and just do a foot washing up in here. We're not going to tell you either. You're just going to be, so make sure that you come with, hopefully your nails will be done, you know. Sonia's like, no, I'm not going there. I'm not touching anybody's feet. But if you guys remember last week, the message was about how God is calling us to serve, right? And one of the key points was, how do you serve an invisible God? Well, we do that by serving our visible neighbors, right? And today we're going to be talking, the theme you guys see behind me is walking with God. And so every week we've been talking about a key principle. How do we continue to develop and live a life that, again, is rooted and established in His love? And so I'm going to, and I know today's going to be a little bit of an abbreviated message because we're going to share and break bread and eat, but we're still going to have the full message, so don't worry. But let's try an exercise together. Some commonly known expressions that you may have heard in the culture, right? Because as we're talking about walking with God, I want to see what you guys, I'm going to test your knowledge, right? I'll say the first part, and then you guys give me the answer. Here's the first one. Talk is cheap, right? You guys know that one? And here's another one. Action speak. Okay. Here's another one. Practice what you preach, right? This one you may not know. Well done is better than not being done. No. That's not the right answer. Well done is better than well said, right? That's a Benjamin Franklin one, you know? So that was a new one. And here's the one that you guys all probably know. If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk, right? Now, some of you guys, I could tell, like when I'm saying those words, you're like, what, you want some? Like, I could already say, hey, I'm calm down, Raider fans. Like, I could tell them looking at me like, hey. We're all friends here. We're all Jesus. We're on Team Jesus here. But those are words that oftentimes when you hear them, they're like, hey, you better back that up. You're running a big mouth there, right? And another one that's famous in the UK is all mouth and no trousers, right? It means that that's a different one. But what we're learning about today is what does it mean for us to walk with God, right? And how do we, what the expression means is aligning our actions, right, and our lives with the words and beliefs and the things that we value as Christians. Make sense? All right. So when we're walking with God and with others is at the heart of Christian living, right? And I'm going to cover some scriptures and what it means. But a lot of times, you know, it's going to be, to me, one of the more important principles that we've talked about. Yes, we have to know who God is, right? Yes, we have to listen to Him. We have to pray. We have to serve. But this is the part where we talked about, right? You could talk a big game, Christian, but are you walking the walk, right? Are you walking the walk with God? And are you doing what He's asking you to do? And that's sometimes where the rubber meets the road. It's easier to say those things. It's easier to read the scripture. But how do you actually do it? Right? And so that's what we're going to cover today. So, because one thing that we know, right, as we're walking with God, and the one thing that we know to live, and you guys have heard me say this, to live is to what? My wife knows the answer. It's to suffer, right? And oftentimes when we talk about loving God and loving other people, it can be hard to love other people, yeah? Yeah, it can be even hard to sometimes, if we're honest, to love ourselves. And who actually hurts us the most, right? It's usually other people. Sometimes it's people that we trust. Sometimes it's people that we really depended on, and they let us down. And those are hard things to get over, right? But at the end of the day, if we're going to be mature Christians and mature believers, we have to walk the walk. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So the first scripture that we're going to be reading out of today is out of Matthew 22. And it's going to be 36 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. So if you want to turn your Bible up or if you have a Bible in your hands, or you can always follow up on the screen. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. I think most of you guys can probably have it memorized, or some folks maybe even have a tattoo of it. I don't know. But let's read it. It says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments." You guys have heard that passage of scripture before many times, right? The context of this passage is Jesus is actually, he's full swing in his ministry. He's being challenged by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You guys know who those folks are? They're the religious leaders of the time, right? And he had just finished kind of schooling the Sadducees because they asked him that question. You know, and if we're honest, right, the very first one that they ask him is, "Jesus, is it right for us to pay taxes? I wish you would have said no," you know, like, then I would have a biblical reason to say, "I'm not going to pay you nothing, Joe Biden." I'm sorry. No. federal government. Sorry. I'm not here to talk about elephants and donkeys. You guys know that. But I wish Jesus would have said no, right? Because then I would have like, no. Right here, my Lord and Savior says, I don't have to pay taxes. But then he says what? He says, "Give me a coin." And then he says, "Whose inscription is on it?" He says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God that which is God's," right? Now, they challenged the second challenge for him was, it happens, you know, it's a question about the man who marries the woman who marries seven brothers and they all die and none of them have kids. You guys remember that? It was to do with the resurrection. And he kind of answered them again, and they were kind of like, "Jesus is so awesome. Like, I love to hear him, like, schooling people, because he's just like, get out of here." He's almost like, "Cállate." He would shut down all the haters and the debaters, right? But he gets into this question now. So there's another, somebody from the Pharisee camp comes up before him and says, "Teacher, you know, I'm going to stump you," right? Which is the greatest of the commandments. Now, you guys all know that back then, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they already had memorized all the Mosaic laws, right? All 613 of them. Imagine if that was your job, to memorize all the laws, right? These guys must have had a lot of spare time because they actually had also put them in order, right? They themselves had their own list of which of the 613 was the most important commandment. And so they're trying to catch him, right? And Jesus, you know, I would say, like, he's God, right? He's awesome. He turns around and he answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments." So again, I'm going to go into your fill in the blank as well if everybody has one. Right? When he's asking us to do that, to walk right as a Christian, going back to the intro of the sermon, is we need to love God and love other people. We need to love God and love other people. And that's sometimes easier said than done, right? But that is really at the heart of foundation living, because Jesus actually did what? He summarized all 613. In fact, he said, "I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it," right? So he made it very simple. Like, you guys back in the day, do you guys remember reading like the Cliff Notes when you used to have a test? I used to do that too. I was like, I wouldn't read the whole book, but Jesus gave the Cliff Notes of the Mosaic Law in one single commandment, right? He's awesome. But the thing about that is that it's central to our ability to be able to do that. Again, it's easier to say and it's harder to do, right? But central to that whole theme and the concept of what Jesus gives us as the great commandment is this thing right here. I'm going to stand over here, and hopefully I don't get all kinds of crazy feedback, but if I do, I'll move back. Maybe I should move the cross over. Maybe we should do that? We should be fine. Okay. So central to that our ability to do that is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross was what back then? Do you guys know what it was? People weren't wearing that as a cross on their gold chain, right? Rappers weren't wearing it. It was what? It was a form of execution. It was a form of punishment. It was a form of public humiliation. But central to our ability to do that is Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And so what I'm going to talk about a little bit is I have a little bit of an object lesson here, because it's very easy to say, oh yeah, love God and love people. Shh, praise God. Hey, your sister. Yeah. When you walk out, when you're at church, hey, it's easy to do, right? And I always challenge you with this. What about the people that you really don't like? And what about the people that get on your nerves? And what are the people that have betrayed you? What about the people that have harmed you? What about the people that still seek out to get up in your business? Is it easy to love those people? It's not. But here's the rub. Here's the challenge. Jesus is saying, you can talk a big game, Christian, but are you walking the walk? Because like the way that I died, I came, right, to give my life for sinners. I love that sinner, the one that drives you crazy, just as much as I love you. I know. You come in here and you're saying, I'm Jesus' favorite. Jesus loves me best. He loves me most. I'm sorry to break it to you, but Jesus loves us all the same. Somebody said that, was it? Is it Jose? Yeah. Okay, I stand corrected. Jose is Jesus' favorite. But no, he doesn't, right? He loves all of us, including the sinner. Why? Because if we're honest, every single one of us was his enemy. Every single one of us was away from him. And we always say, when we reflect on that, we always say, the Romans put him on the cross. But guess who else put him on the cross? We did, right? And so when we talk about this verse, it's very easy to go through and say, oh yeah, I get it. Love God, love people. That's so easy to do, right? But let's see what it really means, right, for us to walk the walk. The cross, you guys have heard me say this before, is a perfect illustration because it goes from vertical, right, to horizontal, right? And so what we're learning in Matthew 22, 36, 37 through 39 is that it's kind of easy to do this one, right? And I'm like nervous that this is going to give up all kinds of stuff. This one you kind of have more or less down. There's a point in your life where it wasn't this way. It was like this, if you're honest. It was kind of like that. You thought you were your own God. Yeah. And sometimes, if we're honest, we forget. And this thing starts to creep up and wants to do that again. Yes? Right, but Jesus' command to us this morning is what? You're going to have to love your God first, right? Here's why. Because if you don't have this part down, this other part is very hard to do. I will tell you, almost impossible, right? Now, the other part, in terms of other people in your life, because it's a matter of priority is what we're learning, right? We can, at times, allow other people to cover up this first portion of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, we think that it's our affirmation. We have idols. We have people, relationships that we put in front of God. It could be what? Could be Taylor Swift. Could be the Swifties. It could be even something positive. It could be your kids. It could be your spouse. It could be your work. It could be other things that you value more, right? But Jesus says what? He's very clear that he gives us the great commandment. He says, man, you have to love God first. Because when you try to do the, if you're going to try to do it the other way around, you're not going to have the strength or the power to be able to do it. The other thing that this happens, right, when other people, we're worshiping them, or we have, what happens when this person realizes that they have a whole lot of control over you, what can usually happen? It's what? You could be, for sure they're going to let you down. They're not God, right? Here's the other thing that happens. And this happens a lot. We hear about it a lot. The people that get into some really complicated relationships that they really shouldn't be in. Does that make sense? Where it says you can really start to delve into the world of those toxic relationships, right? People that even when you try to say, I really want to live for God, they're like, God, you don't need God. You already have me, right? And so those are all distractions, right? At the end of the day, God has to be at the top. This vertical beam has to be in alignment and it has to be right, guys. We have to love God first. We have to. It needs to be number one in our life. Before your spouse, before your kids, before your friends, before your parents. Because what? Out of this relationship is the overflow, right? Out of this relationship, then we have the capacity and the ability, not because of anything that we've done, because we're so awesome, but because what? Because of what He does for us, right? There's a supernatural ability to forgive and to love and to have grace and to be, at the end of the day, what we're going to be talking about today is humble. Because all these other things, when we have all these other things, what we're talking about is we're talking about pride. And we're really going to dive into what it means to walk humbly with your God, right? It's Micah 6:8. What does the Lord your God command of you, right? To what? To love mercy. Anybody else? Love justice and walk humbly with your God. I just wanted to put this up here because it's really important. Central to our ability to do that is the fact that Jesus came, that He fills us with the Holy Spirit, right? We have that promise. We read about that in John 14. And now He gives us a commandment. If this is right, then this is possible. If this isn't right, this is impossible. Amen. So we need to love God and we need to love each other. That's the foundation of Christian living. The second one that we're talking about, the second point in your fill in the blank this morning is humility is a fundamental virtue of Christian living. Humility is a fundamental virtue of Christian living. Because before you came to the Lord, right, you were full of who? You were full of yourself. I was full of myself. Somebody was going to say full of something else. Don't say that. You're in church. You're full of yourself, not the thing that you were going to say. And that's because what? Because in the flesh, it's all about us, right? You've heard me say it. Before I came to the Lord, and even now, I still struggle with it. I say, I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind. Because it's true. It's what we see. It's what we know, right? And so this, again, is not an easy thing. It's a supernatural thing. But through the Holy Spirit, we can do these things. So let's turn to chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to be reading out of verses 5 through 10. And then we're going to come back and work some chunks through it as we cover the scripture. You guys there? All right. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's see. It says, in the same way you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. Right? So the parents all would say, amen. You should get that already. Put it in the kids' rooms, right? This is the first passage of this, or the first couple of verses in John chapter 5 were instructions to the elders. But then he dives into unique instructions for all of us. And it says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves in humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, and He shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, and there's again the word, right? Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time and cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Amen. Now, the NCV version, the New Century version, I'm going to read that because sometimes it's kind of cool to have a different translation. It's in the same way, younger people should be willing to be under older people. Amen. And all of the and all of you should be very humble with each other, because God is against the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Be humble under God's powerful hand, so he will lift you up when the time is right. Give all your worries to him, because he cares about you. So here's the second thing he's saying, right? He's saying that we need to humble ourselves towards one another, right? We can do that if we've already humbled ourselves to who? To God, right? Through the Holy Spirit. We can then be humble to one another. If not, it's very difficult to do that. I already said that, because we're full of pride. And we don't like to be, you know. But at the end of the day, the power to do that is through the Holy Spirit himself, right? Because we received what? When we have a right perspective on who we are, we view ourselves differently, right? We don't feel like, I'm all that. Like, I'm all like, who's that? You're disrespecting me. You're talking about me. Your world is about me. It's not about you, right? We're created. God is sovereign. God is in control. And so it makes it a whole lot easier, right? And here's the reality of it, and you heard me say this before. We are not fit to wear the crown on our head. We don't have the capacity to do it, guys. When we try to do it our own way, it doesn't work, right? Usher lied. It's God's way, not his way. Not my way, no? Man, you guys are... Come on, guys, wake up. He's a liar. It should be God's way, not my way. That way doesn't work. So it is an active decision, right? And here's why it matters. Because God opposes the proud, right? We just read it. So here's the thing. The Super Bowl is coming, right? Next week? The Niners. Where's my Niner fans at? Yeah. My wife told me, she's like, wear your Bills jersey, but what I want you to do is then have the Niner one and take it off when you do that part, and then throw the Bills one on the ground. I couldn't do that. Number one, it wouldn't fit. Like, it's too tight. I would have tried it for dramatic effect. You know, Niners, yeah. There's no Chiefs fans here, right? All right, we don't want the Chiefs to win anyway. Boo. But here's what we're saying. Those are the opponents, right? And you know that they have the competition's going to be fierce. And we, depending on who you want to win, right, you're going to cheer on for your team. And you're going to say, man, hopefully they run the right plays and that, you know, Brock Purdy has a good game and McCaffrey goes off. But we know that the opponent, they're not just going to lay down. I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes. He's pretty decent, right? Sounds like Kermit the Frog, but and we're not going to say nothing about him. He's a believer. He's a follower of Jesus, so. But here's what we're saying. That's a tough opponent. What God is telling us, though, is that if we're not humble and we're proud and we're full of ourselves, who is our opponent? God opposes the proud. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not trying to get into any kind of battle with God. I've already lost that one. It's flat out telling you, you're not going to win this one. Do you know who you're up against? You're up against the creator of the universe. You little created being, think you're all bad. God opposes you. I mean, like literally, like could smash you, like, you know, get out of here with your think you're all bad. God opposes the proud, guys. So I'm not trying to pick a fight with him. I want to be on his side. I want to be on Team Jesus, right? I'm not trying to be like against him. I want him, what? If God is for us, who could be against? I want to be on his team. But when we pick the way of ourselves and we're full of ourselves and the way of being proud in our life, the scripture is very clear. It says God opposes he opposes you, right? So we have to humble ourselves. In verse 6, it says, and it continues on, and it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you, right? He cares for you. But here's the thing, guys. The third fill in the blank. Humility is a choice. Humility is a choice. You have a decision to make. Are you going to choose to be filled with the Spirit and humble ourselves before God so that we can be humble with each other? Because that's what it's saying. Scripture says, clothe yourself, right? Now, when you got up this morning, every morning, I hope, you make a decision on what you're going to wear, right? That's a decision that you make. Clothe yourself in humility. Not clothe yourself in pride or anger or resentment, but clothe yourself in humility, right? And so that is a decision. Humility is a trust word, and it means that you're choosing to trust God and others with the real version of you. Do you know what I mean? You guys have heard me say this before. The culture that we live in likes to put on a lot of fronts, right? Social media. I always say, nobody ever takes pictures of when they wake up all jacked up and all kind of pajamas, and nobody ever takes that picture. You take the picture when you're like, ah, look at you, you know, looking all good, or you go eat somewhere, right? Usually. That's not the real you, honestly, though. Maybe when you got dolled up and you look, for the most part, that's not the real you. We like to put on a front, even as believers, right? Why? Because I would say, you know, and yes, there's things that I'm working out with God, right? And it has to be that way. I'm trying to work some stuff out, guys. You don't want to know what's going on in here sometimes. You don't want to know what's going on right here. That's between me and God, right? He's still working some things out in me, believe me. So that then I can say, oh, yeah, you're right, God. You know what? Yeah, I messed up. You're right. And then I can go love other people in my life, right? Because humility is a big deal. The reality of it is, if we're honest, humility is how we receive love. Why? Because when you're proud and you're putting on a mask and it's the fake version of you, do you think that that's... Humility means, man, I'm just coming to you as I am. Flaws and all, right? Here I am. I don't have it all worked out. I'm a work in progress. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But that's real, right? Pride and then living that life about yourself and your and all these other things, that's fake. That's not even real, guys. That's being puffed up. Humility is the way that we can actually learn how to receive love. It's a big deal. It's the only way that we actually get to experience even God's love, right? Because we have to humble ourselves before Him to say, you know what, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, right? I need to turn away. I need to repent from the way I've been living. I want to put my faith in you. You are going to be Lord and Savior of my life, not me. So humility is paramount to the Christian living, to the Christian life. The reality of it is that the more prideful you are, the lonelier that you will be. Why is that? Why is that? I just told you that when you're humble, that's the real you. When you're full of pride, it's what? It's the fake version of you. And who wants to know the fake version of you? That's usually the time. That's what I'm saying is that when you make a decision to live a humble life, people get to see you, right? People get to see you for who you are. When you live a life that's full of pride, who wants to be around that person? Who wants to be around that person? Do you have friends that you know are really puffed up with themselves? Are they like, do you look forward to seeing them? Man, you're almost like, man, I can't stand her. Like, all she does is talk about herself and talk about where she went. And I can't stand him. Like, you know, let's be honest. You can't be honest in the church. You can't be honest anywhere, right? Those people at the end of the day are lonely. And the reason why is because if you don't have the ability to be humble before somebody, they can't love the real version of you. That's why the very first step to accepting God's love is to humble ourselves to say, man, I am flawed. I come to the end of myself, Lord Jesus, because you know me, flaws and all. Right? Here I am, I'm a hot mess. Do something with this. And Jesus says, yep. When you come to the end of yourself is where God begins. But here in the context of the church, you know, hey, some of you guys, maybe you gave your life to the Lord a long time ago. You grew up in the church. and you suffer from a different kind of thing. You're like, I don't want people to be all up in my business, right? I'd rather just keep people at arm's length because, man, and that's the other part. Where you can come to a church and be encouraged by the service and, man, this was that, and worship was okay. I just wish Pastor Mike would have sang louder and they messed up on the chorus and, you know. But we can do that too, even at church. In close enough to be like, hey, Joey, praise God. Yeah, that was good. That was a good word. Hey, Lily. Oh, yes, yes. Good job. But that's not what God is calling us, right? We talked about it in Acts 2:42. We're getting ready to launch our Bible studies here. We have to do life together, guys. The good stuff that you live on Instagram and the drama that is breaking your heart. That's why the church exists, guys. Because that's where it's real, right? We have to be humble. We have to be okay to allow ourselves to let people into our lives. Because if we're honest, we're all alone. If we're honest, we have friends. You know? My wife is my best friend. You know, I have my brothers and sisters, right? My church family. This is, you know, I go to work, go to church, and that's it. I don't have any friends. It's a true story. I'm blessed, guys. Don't feel sorry for me. That's not for me. Here's what I'm talking about. All of us, right? We're called to be a part of the church family. You're important. You're needed. We have to come before us and say, man, hey, Joe, Pastor Mike, I need to talk to you about something. What's going on? Let's have some coffee. Let's go do life together. How do we do that? If we're just going to be like front and it's like, oh, I'm good, Pastor, but you're dying on the inside? You're not only lying to me, but you're lying to yourself. Why? We're not here to be that kind of, and that's the other thing too. I'm already going over my wife is giving me the cue card. We're meant to do life together, guys. And so we have to allow ourselves, right, to be humble enough, flaws and all, to come forward and say, you know what, brother, I'm struggling right now. Sister, I'm struggling with this thing. Can we meet? Can we have some coffee? Let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. We're going to talk about why that matters, right? The church, guys, is a place for sinners that need a Savior. It's a place for messed up people. All of us, myself included. We're imperfect. We serve a perfect God. We have to be okay with that. Humility is about reality. It's not about pretending. And so I'm going to go really quick because I'm running out of time. We have to be okay to allow brothers and sisters into our life so we can not only walk with God, but we can walk with each other. So the little acronym that you have on your fill in the blank is a practical little tool to help create some real Christian relationships because we need them. And this might be new to you. So the first thing you're going to do, right, is you're going to invite a brother or sister, same gender, not opposite. Same gender. The S and the blueprint that we're going to do, and you're going to ask them for coffee, lunch. I said, hey, brother, let's go grab some lunch. Let's grab some coffee. The S in that is, and the reason why it's if you just walk through it, it's called soap, right? You got to clean a little bit. But the S stands for Scripture. Scripture is something you want to just start off the conversation to say, hey, this is a passage of Scripture. Here's what I'm reading. Here's what God is revealing. And you just exchange. What is God revealing in your life in terms of Scripture? Maybe you don't understand something. Maybe God is speaking to, how did God speak to you through the Word, through the message? Maybe you have a question about translation. It's important, right, that we talk about the Scripture. Right? The O is for outreach, and it's somebody that we should be praying about, praying for, right? When we gather, we should be intentionally, right, looking for opportunities as well to befriend somebody in the church, but also that we can also extend our faith, right? We're called to evangelize. Every one of us in here is called to be an evangelist. You don't have to be like on TV or leading a massive crusade, but every single one of us is called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's an opportunity for outreach. That's the O. The A then is also for one other thing that we need, right? We need accountability in our lives, guys. It's for accountability. It's to say, hey, I'm asking for your permission to speak life into me. That if you see me, like if you see me, I'm wrong, or hey, this is going on with my kids, or I act this with my wife, for us to say, like, hey, you know, Proverbs 27:17, for the guys, iron sharpens iron. Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong. But somebody needs to speak life to us. The P is for prayer. After you do these things, you know, you don't have to go like, let's talk about SO. No, just a general blueprint, right? The P is for prayer because we need to pray for each other. We have to pray for each other and just be honest, right? Because I'm telling you, you know, people, when you ask them, how are you doing? But you've heard this say, like, no, seriously, right? What's really going on? I could tell something's not right. And be okay to say, okay, what is that true? Because that's not your body language is telling me something else. Now, that means that we have a vested interest in that relationship, right? It requires trust, right? Humility is the cornerstone of building trust in the relationship. Number four, really quickly, I'm going to move on. Humility protects us from the enemy, right? Humility protects us from the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings, right? And why is the enemy is like he roars like a lion, right? That's his big thing. Roar, he roars like a big lion, scares you. He's a liar. If you look at how if you watch those videos like on National Geographic or the Animal Planet, the lions don't even do anything. They're lazy. It's actually the women it's the female cats that do the hunting. But what does the lion do? Roar. He like scares you, right? He scares the gazelle. Gets all disoriented, and then who comes in to do the work? The female cats do. The lionesses do. And they just show up to eat. That's why the enemies... That's another message right there. Another message for another time. I'm not saying I wash dishes too. I don't just show up to eat. But the enemy is characterized as looking... He's looking like a lion roars, right? He lies. He's a liar, right? And so humility protects me from the enemy. You know why? Because it says, right? He says, stand firm in faith because your family of believers, right? You're undergoing the same thing. You need, you know, it's funny. In terms of the lion, it's called a pride, right? Not that kind of pride, but a pride. You need a group of people, believers, right? To protect you, to be with you, to love you, to encourage you when life happens. And oftentimes, if we're honest, to point us in the right direction to say, hey, I'm going to protect you from yourself right now. You're making a decision. You're making a wrong, that decision you're making is a poor one. I'm going to save you some heartache. We have to be okay to speak life into our brothers and sisters in that way. The fifth one, humility invites God's love to work in my life. Humility invites God's love to work in my life. Peter says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up and cast all your anxiety on him. Means you're going to have to practice humility, right? And you might be nervous, but we cast our anxieties on him because what? Because he cares for us, guys. Because he cares for us. You know, we have to be okay, guys, with our imperfections and our flaws, right? A couple years back, there was a movie that came out. It was a movie called Wonder. Did you guys see that? It was a movie with... Julia Roberts and Lightning McQueen. What's his name? Owen Wilson. The voice of Lightning McQueen. You can tell I watch a lot of kid movies. And you guys remember, there's a little boy that was born with a bunch of deformities in his face, right? And so much so that when he would go out, he would always have an astronaut helmet on. You guys remember that one? And he dreamed that he was going to be an astronaut and all this other stuff. And it was because what? Because kids that age they're vicious, they're mean, right? And he always wanted, he didn't feel comfortable going out in his own skin. And so he always put on the mask, put on the astronaut. There's a point in the movie at the end where the dad actually hides his astronaut mask. You guys remember that? And then he starts to come out of his shell, and then people start, he's a funny guy. He starts to make friends, and he has this one moment with his dad, right, where he's saying, Dad, and the dad tells him, you know what, I hid your mask. And he's like, why, Dad? Why did you do that? The kids, I needed it for protection. The dad told him, he's like, no. He said, I know that the world tells you all these other things about how you look, and they tease you and make fun of you, but you need to know that I love to see your face. I love you the way that you are. I don't need any mask. I love you the way that you are. And so for all of us, right, we walk around with a little bit of the astronaut helmet ourselves. For God the Father to say, I love you the way that you are. I love to see your face with all of your mess, and even the same way in wonder, with all your deformities and your problems, I just wanted to see who you are. And God invites us to that, guys. That's what it means to walk with God. That's why we can trust him. That's why we can cast our worries upon him, because he cares for us, right? He sent his son to die on the cross for us, guys. I don't know what else there's. He loves us like that. And it's okay for us, right, to stop pretending and to love him with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, right, so that we can turn around and do what he asks us to do, to love each other. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. You are an awesome God. We love you, Lord God. We love you. We love you, Lord. We come out of humility, Lord God, to say that you are God and you're good all the time. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for your love to send your son to die on the cross for sinners like us. We don't deserve it. We deserve your wrath, Lord God. We deserve justice, but you give us grace and mercy instead. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your comfort, for your guidance, for the wisdom, for the discernment that you give us, Lord God. My prayer today is that we can walk humbly with you, walk humbly with each other, Lord. Right now, Lord, some of us are coming into this place. We have a little bit of a mask on. Help us to be real with you. We're not fooling anybody. Help us to be real with you. And then help us to take off the mask and start to form some deep relationships with brothers and sisters that care about us, that love us, that want us to see the full life, that can come alongside and encourage us on this journey together. You didn't make us to have this journey alone. You created us to do this journey into life together. It's why you created the church, Lord God, is the answer, Lord. So thank you that you love the church enough, Lord, to give your life. Help us to just be your hands and your feet, Lord, in the community, in our families, and our brothers and sisters, Lord. But again, we have to be real with you first. And we have to be real with each other in humility, Lord God. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you meet every brother and sister that's in here at their need. We all have a personal need right now, Lord. Our first need is our need from you first, Lord. So if there's something that's getting in the way of our relationship with you, if it's sin, if it's anger, if it's we're too busy, forget about all that. Nothing is more important than our relationship with you, Lord God. So help us to get real, not just to keep talking about that I'm a believer, but to really to walk the walk with you. And then we can turn around and walk the walk with our brothers and sisters, that you call us to serve one another. Your word tells us that the world will know that you were sent by the Father by the unity of your church. So, Lord God, help us to spread the good news of who you are in humility. Help us to show up, Lord God. Help us to open our lives to each other, Lord, as we get ready to launch Bible studies here, that we can sign up and be okay. We're just going to have fellowship. We're going to have a good time. Lord, we're going to experience your joy. You're a good God. So, Lord God, meet us where we are. Again, if whatever we have, Lord God, I pray, whatever's entangling our walk and our relationship with you, help us to surrender that at the cross. And then, supernaturally, through your Holy Spirit and through your word and through prayer and meditation and counsel, we can start to really live the abundant life that you have. We said here horizontally with other people that we can actually just share the good news of who you are. Lord God, thank you again for who you are in our lives. help us again, Lord, to just be your hands and your feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I also pray that you bless our meal, Lord, today, Lord, that we're going to have some fellowship. We're going to share a good meal. Thank you again for just everybody that showed up to set up, bring all different types of soups for us to enjoy. Help us to hang out here. Help us to get to know and converse and share stories and be okay to open up, to really live that life that we said. We're not meant to do this thing alone. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you allow us, Lord, to serve you here at this church and make us effective, Lord God, to know you and to make you known, Lord God. We love you.